Hello guys, I'm not completely sober, so just be nice to me. The first poem I read to you guys was the worst poem of the evening. This is not the worst poem of the evening, but it's pretty fucking close. This is a poem I wrote in 2015, 8 years ago. Yes, I'm mature now. I wasn't then, so be kind. This one's called Sanity. Be kind, please. Because this poem, I've never said it with my words ever. I wrote it once, sent it to a few friends on WhatsApp, and they were like happy about it. I'm reading it for the first time. I have a stutter. If there's a long dramatic pause, it might just be because of my stutter. So, Sanity. I laugh as they try to find a trace of sanity in my chaotic mind. Lifetime of truth seen with the eyes of dreams. My mind is my shrine. Not withered with time, it only grows more. The more I touch, the more I feel. It leads me to believe. They say I'm unable to think straight. I think they fail to open their mind's gate, to let new ideas in, to manufacture a new thought. See things with a new perspective to understand what they sought. They all think the same, in the same lines, in the same light, and they call themselves sane. But relative as our place is in this ever-changing universe, so are our rules of thumb, our laws, and our morals. Your sanity comes from a place of quasi-singular consciousness. From a place of dire lack and, dare I say, a fear of individuality. A place where different is. You know what? I don't even know what I've written. A place where different is heinous. A discarded like a bad organ, with us, like us, or defective. That's your slogan. They've tried to cure me. They've tried to cure me, though, over the years, in many ways. Since I was too little to understand, till I was too old to change, I understand my mother's kind words. I understand my father's rage. I remember when I started to question the world that was fed to me. I remember my teacher's cane. For all these years, they tried to make me see things their way. But they failed to see me. I think I'm just differently sane. Thank you. Pretty fucking close.
Thank you very much, Sushi. Woo! Next up is Roxy.
We're a team, so I gotta do it because Sushi did it. So, unfortunately, it's a love poem. It's called Or So You Said. You learn to live lo lick love of silver knife blades, sadistic flavor of honey, limited edition, top shelf. Or so you said. Taking a spoonful for my beverage, then poison spreading through my veins, freezing your uncertainty of us. Reading your pixelated love and weakly cheesy lines, blinding me from the venom in your kisses and wandering hands. Emotionally sadistic, excitedly masochistic. You promised the rope in your drawers for my wrist. Instead, I'm disentangling this noose from my neck and handcuffs of my gullibility. But wait, I still believed I was the shot of happiness, the pocket full of sunshine you so desperately needed. Even though my only talent was being too much or making you stressed. But that's okay, you blamed it on ADHD and cultural differences because you lack accountability and self-awareness. Blanket covered oblivious lies. Crocodile smile, I'm out of my mind. The doctor prescribed me band-aids for this pain, but the bullet hole keeps bleeding away. You didn't know the cartridge was full. I felt so secure. You were so sure, or so you said. Now the only man standing is the one with the gun. The only question remaining, shooting and leaving. Were you a reckless or a ruthless coward? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Roxy.
Next up, we're going to hop on over to Zoom, and we're going to have Brian. Brian, I don't know your full name. Just Brian.
Sorry, are you referring to me? General Isabel? Did you say Brian, me? Okay, I'm sorry. So I've got two poems. The first is One Afternoon on the Bus. There's a young man around 21 sitting directly behind the bus driver, intently tap-tapping on his cell phone with his thumbs. Directly behind him is a man in his late 60s wearing what looks like a 1980s members-only windbreaker who spends almost every afternoon riding the bus. He worries the kid who looks smart enough will ruin his ability to properly communicate because of all his constant texting. Two women who are possibly not yet 20 are talking loudly about boys they have both dated, including facts like penis size. Suddenly, a bike messenger jumps the curb in front of the bus. The driver stops short. The phone flies to the side and hits one of the loud girls in her boob. She yells, "Boy, I own this phone now." In less than 18 months, the older man will write a New York Times bestseller titled "What Happened During My Residency on the Columbus Avenue Line." One that has been before. It's called Scotch on the Rocks. The bartender dips a metal scoop into the ice machine. The ice sounds like little marbles when it lands in the glass. He sets it atop a pockmarked bar. When he pours the scotch, you hear the slight Rice Krispies crackle of the ice objecting to its eventual melting. It's the good, expensive stuff that you rarely get. The bartender asks if you're celebrating something. He recounts that he remembers when your dad brought you in to celebrate your first job after college, back when his now deceased uncle owned the place. He pushes the glass across the oak. It travels less than a foot before it arrives at you. You lift it to about where your chin is. You tilt it back and forth. The ice jingles. It sounds a bit like one of those collars people put on their dog when they dress it up like an elf at Christmas. You lift it till it hits your bottom lip. It smells of fresh cooked butterscotch, buttery sweet, and the tiniest bit bitter. Your top lip rises just enough for a sip of liquor to travel over your tongue to your taste buds and slide down your throat. A warm sensation happens for a few seconds that feels like you won an award for sighing. During this time, you closed your eyes when the scotch entered and opened them when you set the glass on the bar. You exhale through your nose before sip number two. You say to the bartender, "Yes, Travis, I am celebrating." You don't tell him what you are celebrating. You don't order a second drink. You leave a generous tip. He says to have a nice night and says your name. As you are walking out, you wonder what you two would talk about if you ran into each other at a diner. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brian. Next up is Kyle Holden, please. There's some seats up here as well if anybody wants
There is a seat here and some more seats.
What's the story, guys? How are you? I must admit, you caught me in a bit of a fluster there. I've been running here and there.
Take it all off.
Later, man. We're a long night anyway. So I've been doing a bit of hip hop lately. That's been my buzz, and I want to do something for you guys from that. No, obviously, I have to do that. Don't stray too far from that one. You got it. All right. Okay. So this one is called Lion's Mane at the moment. And yeah, it's just a sample from that set I'm working up. So come and watch me stumble to the stage. Like here's another portrait of the artist as a page. How I float above the pattern like a spider over lace. And in between reality and the waves, I've been swinging back and forth, the ink from inclement. My weather's dark, but how is yours? It's been a long dark night shift, my late night stick, can of Sergeant Pepper spray. You know I got my baggage cause I always bring the pain. Love, there was another one before you, and there's a hole in my heart that I can see a whole other world through. And I painted her picture on the wall of the cave, in earth tones, warm ochre and red clay. Now it's another tale of Devon though, the others end up wearing nothing but their harpy pellet herringbone. I hit the kitchen for a hair with a dog, wade downstairs through the waste of deep fog, and I stir my concoction with a crossbow bolt. Well, I remind myself that this is not my fault. Oh, why? Two-time torment, it's an act and I have got it down. I frolic in the meadow and an assortment of flower crowns. I see you won't hold the door cause you're afraid you'll let the power out. Now I am cutting through the frequency just like a musical saw. A couple poems short of being a cubicle wall. I empty my bazooka to the heart of the herd, like I unlock my bike around the back of the world. I am Christopher Robin Hood, innocent fugitive, robbed from the rich cause I find it more lucrative. And my missiles all lock while you wonder what the future is. See, I was born just short of the barn door, lived forever then got bored. I sailed down to the ocean floor, I picked the weed, I kick the snake, I steal the fleece, I'm on the make. The seeds I sow are dragon's teeth, I take my hammer to the piece, and I admit that it was me. I chopped down the cherry tree, I stood and would not take a knee. It was I who shot the albatross, I went to war against the gods. I confess I cannot tell a lie, I stole the fire from the sky. Thank you guys.
Very much, Kahu. Next up is, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Next up is Kieran McCurtain. Woo! Woo! Microphone check. I'm not sure where it is. Microphone check. Yes, something has happened with the microphone. That is accurate information.
Not sure.
JJF, just not sure, but she fixed it, so well done.
Hello. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Okay, sweet. And the mic has returned to us. Happy Culture Night, everyone. Yeah, on the blog. Great to see the... great to see the city and all its cultural glory and all that. Raised on rage, if you only knew the half of it, you'd know well more than me. Out of control, latent frustration, firing out statements as though patience was patented. The space wants oxygen after the flame, brewing on a festered temper. Listening was last September and we're in early March, stewing like my pestered mentor resetting in the dark. If I only took half of this, I'd still be fucked. I wish to have a mother's luck all those cold nights. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kieran. Next up is Patricia Walsh.
called it a tartan cowbell. Lost and found in contemplation, the worst of all, the savage city rolled into one omnibus. A fine glass of wine assages the impossible. Some coffee does the same job, cursed to paper. Thinner models preferred over the celibate. Being clean and rich is all that is required. Being spoken of in hushed tones is a spoiled mess. Bought out of favour, needing time of day. Rare forms concatenate to the mobile den. Head reckoned to compose, much less condemn. Taking on popularity with a tailspin circuit. Solitary drinks scan this level of protein encased. Sweet and short, an ultraviolet station. Candid at home, creaming the local profits. Moving ahead, a paying customer, holding fast, translated into domestic joke therein. Conditional love from history tightens the noose. The hapless joke driven far into purpose. The crumbs from the cake fall into the ground. Minions gather around for singular helpings. Covert pride throws happiness off the wall. Population staring into the crowded vacuum. Exiting, though, an industrial purpose. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Patricia. Next up, we're going to hop over to Zoom once more, and we have Massimo.
Hey, can everybody hear me okay? I'm going to try to do two poems in 4 minutes. So I just stopped for a second. If I'm at love my life where I left it, I love myself. How could I forget it? I made love to my world. Why in the world would I regret it? Like you, I was naked and shameless, crazy, creative, and aimless, full of surprises, but played with the changes. My life was so good, but not painless. I wore so many faces with traces of so many people as though they were phases reflecting the sameness of self through its phase as a world full of strangers. But I love us to pieces. If we are the puzzle and love is we're pieces, maybe the ways of the world have pain just to teach us that we too are teachers. Each of us, brothers and sisters and lovers, because there is no one among us who has not loved and been loved once. So what does that tell us about how to see in each other ourselves as the truth of our picture develops? And seeing your picture will help us. Can we imagine the light of our dreaming as more than illusion induced in our sleeping? And can I imagine the light of my seeing as streaming reflections of thought from my being? But I'm not saying you're the creator, but don't deny you're a creator. The fact that we'd ask for a savior proves to us all we are something to savor. And our powers go further when we can sit back and just be observers. I'd say this world just revolves around me, but then so often I go in circles, unravel in spirals. Static while traveling miles, I move just to know that I can until I can be still and know that I am. 'Cause to show love is our nature. So when I show you love, I do you no favor. It's because I am loved, I am thankful, and so moved, I choose to show love to my neighbor. 'Cause I'm tired of suffering, fearing and running from nothing. Maybe no battle is coming. To be strong, you need not be battling something. Maybe the struggle in life is to try to learn how to live life without struggling. Maybe my fear of not knowing will change when I learn to be happy just wondering. Maybe I'll learn how to let go, and once and for all, I can hold on to something. Or maybe there's nothing, and all I can do is keep loving. Thank you. And the next piece goes like this. Oh, thank you so much. Save time, I'm gonna go right into the next piece. Thank you. So look, I go over the top and under the bottom, side to side, around the sides and slalom, back to back and front to front with falling, through and through to follow through, resolving, to and fro, the constant flow is calming, up and down and up and still evolving, far ahead and near behind recalling, outside in and inside out absolving. When I think of problems beyond solving, I may take a moment's grace for pausing. I remember problems long forgotten, but I am here and earth is still revolving. Almost all the gifts that I have gotten were here for me before I even thought them. I did not ask for stars, but still I got them. I did not make the sun, how small my offering. Mysteries that seem too deep for talking, but inside my mind repeats them often. And something happens, real life keeps on calling. So I keep a smile, keep on walking. Over the top and under the bottom, side to side, around the sides and slalom, back to back and front to front with all in, through and through to follow through resolving. Or maybe this is just my means of stalling, wanting something just to ease my wanting. But as long as my heart is beating, throbbing, I proceed with care, with peace and caution, hoping someday all mistakes will soften. Time will heal and may reveal what caused them. But as long as I have choice, I have no option. Errors are the only names I have to call them. But still, I do not sink in wells I draw from. Spots in my reflection help me spot them. Birthmarks on my body since I got them. Yet if I had a map, I could not draw them. All these hairs are growing, hairs are falling. All these cells are shedding, some are bonding. My chest is heaving as the earth is rocking. Sleeping, watching over without watching. But people come and go and doors keep knocking. Clocks keep ticking, talking, ringing, stopping. Counting back to keep this world prolonging. But it's worth it just to see this morning dawning. Time for waking, washing, shaking, offing. Sounds of working, singing, neighbors talking. Sounds of chirping, playing, babies yawning. As we all wake up to another day in common. Peace and love.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much, Massimo. Next up is Michelle Delay.
All right, bye, Mr. Cry. And girls and others and everyone. Happy Culture Night. I had to ask Shauna if I can do two as well. Is that still okay?
Kind
of
like two
within
four.
Two midis. I never did it before. Like
three usually is the limit, but squeeze two into four.
Two into four. Quick math. Okay. All right. Well, then I'm all right. Do you want the good news or the bad news? So first, what do you want? The news. Well, okay. We'll go good first. Oh yeah. So the reason I'm throwing in a second one is because I have some people here tonight. They are old friends. New neighbors, and they were very good to me this summer. I had a great time with them after I had a poor time. Hello? Two and two. Okay, so this is a draft I wrote for them, and it's coming straight out of the draft sandwich just because they're here tonight. They live in a house called Oakville. They're the Oakville boys. Oakville's bedrock soaked in some rare breed of home. The oak sinks to the ridge of the roof, its roots canyonize the drive. The two cars of the five boys swerve on its ridges, and that's just the entrance to the big red door, always swinging open to someone smiling and laughing. Halls in the garden so deep and wild that no one's even been to the back of it, where there's Cade, Mila, Dahna, species and odd jobs, all at different stages. Like the birch sapling we planted in the clearing at the cliff over Sutton's, swimming in the rivers of Venice and Prague, wrestling with the Lee, becoming a poem about town, running barefoot on foreign cobbled streets with sirens and dog barks. Oakville boys, how'd you get so cinematic? He's gone off and I feel rotten. How do we get so stale in the end? The early haze is long forgotten. Wish I could spend those days again. I'm strong, just not at the moment. I'll be all right Eventually, I won't keep you long, and on the phone, I'll just try to get some sleep. Up on the dial tone, I'll roll a smoke and hardly blink. There's not much going on till I start to sting. Yeah, I'm good, just not at the moment. Just processing how I feel.
Thank you. Have a good night. Love you.
Thanks, Michelle. Next up is Cedric Bacond.
So this one is titled Ikebana, which is a Japanese art of flower arrangement, which is admirable mostly for its simplicity and its elegance. Ikebana. Those words were grown in their fields, slowly absorbing the suns of community, the rains of stories, the storms of histories. Admire the blossoms from the salty downpours, the radiance of joy piercing through the blankets of sorrows. Watch the heads colored from the riches hidden in a bedrock, broken by sweat and blood, sweetened by hope, aired by life and its countless waking dreamers. Chromatic powders tell tales in nuances borrowed from the semantics. They will feed back as their leaves and petals can no longer sustain the breezes of time. Let me sit under a contextual canopy. I will compose for you my best arrangement yet. Buttercup bared out with astute lips that I cut in stanzas, standing out on their own together in a bouquet. I will leave this here for you to see, hopeful that you may find elegance in its simplicity.
Thank you very much, Cedric. And next up is Max Creedon.
I'm trying to decide between an old chestnut in English or an Irish. I'll just do the English one, I guess. Spoken word intro, done in 3 minutes, please. Okay, a strawberry in the street, what a tasty little treat. Scurrying to cross the mall, no one deferred to cross at all. No breached land quarters, no breached carriage quarters. And there it lies in its dry but imperial gutter. And still it smiles and mutters with its smiles of sunny summers, saying, eat me or delete me. Leave my shoots and juice me. Goodbye to blackberry fields. From strawberry fields to a fast lane. So that's for the strawberry outside the Imperial. And it goes into, meet me at the fountain by the grand parade. This is for Joanne Gould. Where once a merchant princess came for their Sunday promenade. We'll have a roasted coffee and a crema full of froth. And we'll climb the stairs to the bean and leaf. Go urban sketching from the top. We bring the rainbow over Cork, bold against grey skies. And it will stand guard till it's dark, like the Berwick fountain where some young girl cries. Ooh. We'll spin a coloured wheel, a rainbow banner to the air, like Bombracia sparks in Fitzgerald Park. Dance in the fountain, rainbow spray. Dance in the rainbow's fountain spray. Meet me at Electric Bar, where the larch tree saplings grow. where once the Vikings docked their boats, where the South Channel rivers flow. We'll have an avocado wrap, stretch the otters as they play, and we'll stretch in the grass by the cenotaph, and we'll, what's the rest of it? Stretch in the grass by the lymph and the taff, feed the swans as they come our way, watch the swans as they fade away, and we'll paint a rainbow over Cork, bold against grey skies, and it will stand guard till it's dark, like the Berwick fountain where some young girl cries. We'll spin a coloured wheel, a rainbow banner to the sky, like Monbrecia sparks in Fitzgerald Park, dancing the fountain's rainbow spray, dancing the rainbow's fountain spray, dancing the rainbow fountain spray.
Thank you very much, Mags. Next up, I only have their first name, Aidan. Aidan? Carl Holden's friend? No? Did Carl have a friend called Aidan who wanted to go on the open mic?
We're debating, one sec.
Okay, I'm going to leave you debate that silently whilst the next person goes on. Next up is Alexandra Toth. Woo! What? Yes, I do.
So this poem would be about kind of like what it means to me to be an artist, and kind of like the feelings that swirl in me when I get like an art block and how I bounce back from it. So this poem's called My Gem of Hands. Art is a magical beauty. It's mesmerizing to some, but unexplainable to others. A million feelings erupt from me. Such pride, excitement, anger, sadness, like a cocktail of emotions. These gem of hands give me pride. My talent is unique. I know it is. It shines as brightly and as rarely as the northern lights. But this light of excitement turns dull in a heartbeat. These eyes now show anger, even sadness. How can I create such vivid images but still feel like a failure? Why do I radiate such doubt when I know I am worthy of calling myself an artist? These negative, judgmental thoughts make me scream in silent agony. This agony resembles a demon. Its dark whispers telling me to give up. I listen. I give in to its dark temptations. It's easier this way, is it not? Time flies by, and these gem of hands miss the shine of its gems. How can I win this treasure back? What if the demon reappears and buries me forever this time? I want an escape. An escape from reality. The world can be so dull at times. My creations were so vivid in comparison to this world. I remember now, art is my escape, and I need that escape again. Welcome back, my gem of hands.
Thank you very, very much, Alexandra. Adrian? Yes? No? Yeah!
Yeah!
What in time?
Yeah, it's all right. So I guess I'm going to improvise a couple of things that are not really connected, but I'm going to just try and connect them a little bit of mythology and a little bit of. So, there's no good colour. And so, Cucullin has said, he said that when Cucullin would go into battle, he would, if you were to mock him, jeer him, and piss him off, it would be wise not to go near him. Because Cucullin when he went to the battle, he took on the shape of a hound. His head would twist and contort, one eye going deep into his head, the other extending out. And this was what was called the warrior's low, the warp spasm, the riestrad. And he would fell 10 warriors with one blow of the sword. And it is said that when Cuchulainn went to the warp spasm, the sky glowed red, a fiery red. But then, sometimes we need the fire. Sometimes we need the fire to dispense the shadow. The red would fade into gold, into yellow, into a glorious light. That light pouring down, down onto the ground, onto the ashes. And from the ashes, new life would spurt upwards and grow. Where are we going? We're going out there, going into that place where the life grows, where the rock and the soil beats with that pulse of life. Sometimes you need to dive deep into the shadow to know that pulse of life.
Thanks. I'm gonna make sure it feels okay. Great. Next up is Benjamin Burns.
Thank you. For the Moomins. This is called Anniversary, and it's a kind of Friday night poem, so maybe suitable. Is the microphone on? Oh, it is. Okay. It's hard to tell from here. I drank 13 bottles of Prosecco to celebrate it being Friday, the 13th. And I went all pink and dizzy in an extreme way, like those times when you've pushed yourself to keep spinning and spinning, and the earth's tilted dangerously far, free of balanced vision. And you've in a reeling heap in the pampas grass, your hair follicles start fizzing. Yes, I went that far. The stars stopped twinkling. Bad luck is an effervescent delirium that fizzles to an abrupt halt. Spindly-armed fate dandling black beetles and dream catchers across bony knees in a rainstorm. Me, semi-erect and crawling into the beauty spot on your left cheek to shelter from this nightmare's conclusion. Eons ago, moons and dead stars and eons. What is that sound?
It's your food.
Woo!
That's also true. What is that sound? I wondered. The first day I walked in to the foyer of the Granary Theatre. Do swifts haunt the rafters out of season? Is it disaffected stagehands launching screamers in the scene dock? Or a sound art installation in an upstairs studio? Have Shepherd Rize tones broke loose to improvise swooping trajectories of their own? Do the military drop bombs through an endless sky targeting innocent thespians? Is there a rainforest microclimate in the black box, complete with dripping leaves, tree frogs, howler monkeys, and a myriad of shimmering insects. Does a silent panther stalk the gantry? Are they readying themselves for the pants? Oh, that, said Roxana, introducing herself and offering me a glass of water. That's the sound of the fridge. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Ben. Next up is Richard.
Are stories off limits or is it all poems, what do you think? Are stories off limits or stick to poems? I was going to do a poem, I think, just to be on the safe side. I was going to say, do you want a little short story or do you want a poem?
Yes.
One, there's time.
Short story.
Short story, thanks, Ben. So, does anyone here drink tea? So tea is a very popular drink in Ireland at the moment, and it always has been. But when tea first came to Ireland, you couldn't go down to the shops and buy it like you can today. There was none of this Lyons versus Barry debate. You had to wait for the man to come knocking on the door selling tea. And it was on one such night as this, down in the Black Valley in Killarney. Near Killarney, do you know where that is? It's a desolate place if I'm not caught on a stormy night, isn't it? And on one such night, the tea man got caught in a one-room shack mud cut for a young couple with a young baby. And such was the night that there was no way they could send the tea man back out into it. So they had to invite him in, and they fed him, and they put him by the fire. And as he was by the fire, the young wife, she pulled a beautiful cake of bread out of the oven. And the aroma of the cake, it would have the teeth swimming in the back of your mouth. Oh my God. And the tea man's mouth opened and drool came out of it, and he looked and he went to reach for the tea or for the cake, and the husband says, no, he'll wait till the morning like the rest of us. Sure, he'd only be ruining the cake if he takes a bite of it when it's hot. And that was the end of it. I don't know what anyone, Mags, what's it like arguing with a cranky husband? Does it work for you? You don't? No? You don't be arguing with a cranky husband anyway. So that was the end of it. And the wife, she went and put the cake on the windowsill for to cool down for the morning. And the storm, it kept on battering, and eventually it became very apparent that the tea man was going absolutely nowhere. So they decided they'd have to put him into the bed. The wife in the corner, the husband in the middle, and the tea man on the outside. In case any of you get notions, you know? The tea man's tummy rumbling, he got on anyway. They crawled in, and the wind started battering and battering and battering. And the husband, he suffers from a condition that many of men would know about. I don't know anyone, no men in this room, surely. He suffered from a condition known as frequency, which meant oftentimes in the night he had to go out and shed a tear for Parnell. So in this single mud hut, there was no installation plumbing. He had to go out into the outhouse. And such was his jealousy that he had to take the wife with him. And you wouldn't mind once or twice going out in the middle of the night in the middle of a storm to watch your husband take a piss. But three or four times she kicked up an almighty fuss, would you believe? And she says, I won't go out. I won't have it. But the husband couldn't have the tame man lying next to the wife. So what he picked up the crib. Every time he had to go to the toilet, he picked up the crib and he put it between the wife and the tame man. And that was that. There was nothing going to happen to the baby between two people anyway, I'll tell you that much. And out and in and out and in he went. And in the middle of the night, the wind picked up. And the wind blew and blew. And what did it do? But it blew the roof off the shed outside. And if there's one thing to tell you now, if you know the way you've got a headache and all of a sudden someone gives you a box in the jaw, you forget all about your head and you start thinking about the jaw. The man, the husband, he ran out anyway to fix the roof in the shed. Sure, what else are you doing? And what did he forget? To put the cradle between the two. And the wife looked at that tame man with big hungry eyes and says, well, now is your chance. So the tame man got out of bed and took a big bite out of the cake.
Thanks, Richard. fire and a bit of tea. Next up is Philip Spillan.
Thank you. So I was meant to do something else with this, but someone told me to do another poem with this. I stole it.
No.
Yeah, no way. That's culture right there. Happy culture night anyway. No, it's mine, don't worry. The spider's industrial age. To reach the moon, the spider's woven rain clouds into tree motorways that are lighter than air, dark as coal and inky like rubbish bags. A puffed up collection of fibered webs that umbrella the sky pitch black. As these arachnids suffered from acrophiliae, so they built layers and 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 layers of cloudy leverins at cloudy layered heavens, stories and stories and stories and stories. The earth was a scaffold of stormy clouds that quaked in thunder and in anger. They were jointed by ethernet braided ladders in which those scampered up, 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 up. Till they came to that see-through barrier, that zone between sky and space, which those hungry for height spiders could not bypass. So from the topmost floor, all those clouds collapsed like burst balloons and oil black rain fell in bucket loads. Now, that was a climate change, a crash from industrial age. The moon goes black to remember. The sky goes black and the spiders stay black. You people dig up that black jammed in the stones. You people smoke that black back into the night or spill it into the sea. To commemorate? Ha, no, the spiders don't say so. Because you people have been to the moon and back.
Thank you so much, Phil. Next up is JJF.
So in my first poem, I said I was a man of culture. But for this poem, we're going down to the baser instincts. Some of you may have heard this before. This poem is short. This poem is sad. And this poem is about sex. This poem is called Short Sad Sex Poem. We hadn't seen each other in some time. Yet you sent me a pretty risque text last week. Ping! God damn! And asked if I was fine. It's currently 3 a.m, and you do like a bit of late night light nicotine. So I light up a pair of cigarettes after sex. We each take a puff, slick with sweat. I see you blush and know that for you, the rush of regret comes next. And neither one of us came. And it's strange because all those years went by and we did and we didn't and we did and we didn't and we did and we didn't motherfucking change. But neither one of us came. So the unspoken question still hangs. What does come next? That went unanswered, and you took the next cab home. So this is it, my short, sad sex poem. My Insta is Words by JJF. I got stickers for everybody. I got cards for everybody. Talk to me after the show.
You swipe right,
JJF. Thank you, JJF. Next up is Keith Payne, please. Keith Payne? Is Keith Payne?
If I have to.
Yeah, Keith Payne's name got on the list by the magic of O'Vale, which is terribly magical. Okay, so I've just come from launching a book up in Mehelmara about building a curragh. So I'll give you just a short section. That's a long, long, long poem that goes on for about 20 minutes, which I won't do for you here. So I'll give you just a couple of minutes worth. And if you just tweak at me when I'm done, I'll wrap it up. What I can remember of it. We stepped into a hazel wood. No, we didn't. You stepped into a hazel wood. Secateurs sharp, all eyes. The ground you loped on was soft underfoot. Where you knelt and cut with bow saw, with bill hook. You at the head of flaming red, flickering in the hazel wood. A monkish sally, perhaps, this overing the waves with habit, candle, and twine. Still, though, you kept the hazel rods wet under a tarp and a few old tires. Your eyes peeled for the willow switch that rogue might slip in. Otherwise, your boat will bend and twist, will whisk. So now begin. With a draw knife in your hand and the hazel firmly fixed, draw the beveled edge towards you from about a hand's width. And peeling the green bark, you smooth the hoarse rasp while the shavings curl and gather on the floor. Meanwhile, across the yard, we lay the gunnels at our feet, but before you start, you make the carpenter's mark, a pig's tail, a chevron, a ribbon in the wind, and then hold up to the light a faithful marking gauge, measure and thumb it in, and draw it lightly towards you. Be careful, though, that you don't fall into the grain of the wood, so rein it in, and then lay the teeth of a tenon saw just inside the line and cut. And the transom of straight and close-grained silver fir or archangel spruce, mark and bore the mortise holes that will hold the bone-white ribs, and then cleave from the soft, soft wood a halving joint to set the transom in. Oh, isn't it good, Norwegian?
Thank you very much, Keith. It's actually my anniversary today. It's my 6th year anniversary with O'Vale. Yeah. Culture Night 6 years ago. I read my first poem here. And so I'll read another poem here this evening. I'm going to leave it here because it's a bit late for me to be remembering things. There is a dance party club night in Dublin called Mother. I don't know if any of you have ever been to it. Yes, it's very good. There's very good music. It is a queer dance party, and at Electric Picnic they have a rave in the woods, and it's very good. And Cork currently doesn't have any place like that, so accidentally this has kind of become topical. But something kind of profound happened to me at Electric Picnic the year previous to this one at Mother, and this poem is about that. So I'll tell you a story, if you can lend me an ear. The year was 2022. Fresh out of a pandemic cocoon, everything felt a bit peculiar. For me, it was near 3 years earlier I had quit the drink, a miracle within itself. I used to love the sesh, but lost the run of myself. So kicked it. The right decision, I was sure of it. Till I arrived here at Electric Picnic. My first festival sober. Felt like a witness of Jehovah roaming around teetotal. Seeing everyone wild and giddy made me a wee bit envious. Missing the permission slip that comes from a few sips. Substances that encourage a dance without constant cognizance of what I'm doing with my hands. I began to think maybe some experiences just aren't the same without a drink. I was still enjoying it. Don't get me wrong. But as the night went on, I was feeling a bit of malaise. About to head away, retire to my labba, when like the Pied Piper, it called to me. Mother. Do, 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 do. A whisper in the woods, a siren's call of early 90s ballroom dance hall. Do, 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 do. I whooshed through trees, dodging hipsters on ease, hopped over logs felled round young ones off their heads. Like a magnet, my feet flocked to the familiar beat until we found it. This nook in the forest. A studio 54K league, go-go dancers, drag queens, sequins as far as the eye could see. People gleamed, radiant. The rain, it pelted, but they were dancing on to the DJ spinning Beyonce's new song. Without a further thought, I joined them. Propel myself into the crowd, no longer lost or out of place. I found my people, found my space in a seance beneath the night sky. We communicate with the divine through the sounds of 909s. Then fempunk rock and Stevie Nicks, it alchemizes all the pent up shit I had been holding. And now I'm dancing, having a bop, moving more than I've done in yonks, a whirling dervish of disco. This feels almost spiritual. We vogue through Bardot, transcending the compression life lessons have imposed. The music is in my soul. And for the first time sober, I feel free, in a Donna Summer ecstasy. I feel love, I feel no pain, I'm filled with the spirit of Sinead. 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 Danu herself may well be raised, shifting shapes, a disco queen Maeve, a fairy, an R&B banshee. I am every woman, it is all in me. Then I stop being I and become the we, and everything feels alive and in technicolor, in a way I feared would never occur sober. Now the music is my wine and my cup runneth over. We stayed there dancing for hours. I know what the hell happened. It was magic. I left that forest, and my long-held belief that I needed to drink to have fun was gone. And from that moment on, I never longed for a drink again. Thanks very much. Anybody else? Anybody else for the open mic? The open mic closing. Angelique? Yes. Do please. Woo! Angelique Everett.
Some planned, but I was just whispering in other people's ears my poems. Continuing the theme of sobriety. Every morning when I awake, you're there by my side, pouring me luxurious fluids from your spout so long and wide. I do not need any sugar, for you are the sweetest thing I've ever seen. First thing in the morning, I look to turn you on, coffee machine.
Nice one. Great stuff. Wow. So I believe One more? One more? No? You sure? John for a poem? No?
John Horne?
No. 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 No.
John Horne?
No. No. Okay. We're running. Are we out? Oh. Do we have time? John? Great. Very good.
Every time I come to a poetry night, I'm like, I'm not going to read tonight. And tonight I was definitely like, I'm not going to fucking read tonight because I'm kind of half drunk and I'm also sleep deprived. So I'm definitely going to read it off my phone. I could try it from memory and just see how it goes. I'm feeling a bit better. I think I'm sobering up. Give me 2 seconds. By the way, I'm a Freemason now. I sat in a throne. I think I'm your king, possibly.
And a Quaker too, yeah?
And a Quaker, yeah, I'm getting around. What can I say? Where do I look for this? 1 second. I just need to have it on this. No, that's the wrong one. Favorites, of course. But I'll do weightless memories. And I might remember it, or I might not. I stared at the sun too long. It burnt out my brain a bit. I'm not speaking... Can I pull this up? I'm not speaking metaphorically. It was something my therapist said to me. I was focused on forgiveness and letting go of the bad bits that were lodged in little crevices, snuck within the dark cliffs, down in the black pits and puddles of darkness. In my mind, I saw the moon reflecting, glowing, gleaming egg yolks. I thought I'd nick a jewel, twinkling on the ridges of ripples of forgiveness from pebbles I dropped into lattices of sickness. Up to their old business, sucking the life out of me. There's no point in complaining, nothing's ever easy. I just write some poetry in the hopes that it might save me. And to see if it's possible to sing something new into me. What if I could just be a melody of great seas, reaching for the love songs and moonbeams of gravity, weightless memories, rainbows of dust, and buried old identities. Nothing now but melodies and songs sung into me. Nothing now but moonbeams and weightless memories. I remembered it all.